Listener, did you know there's an online cannabis company that ships federally legal THC right to your door? And they found a way to combine THC with carefully selected functional ingredients to target nearly every mood and health concern that you can think of. I'm talking about Mood.com's incredible line of functional gummies. Forget one-size-fits-all supplements that only get you high. Mood's functional gummies are optimized to kick in as little as 15 minutes and take you to the mood you're looking for. Whether that's mind magic gummies for deep work and creativity, PMS support to ease cramps and balance mood swings, or their sexual euphoria gummies to help you feel ready for action and turn every touch into a full body experience. Listen, you can find gummies to just get you high pretty much anywhere these days, but Mood's functional gummies combine premium, federally legal THC with targeted botanicals to help you get to the perfect mood. Best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, listeners get 20% off their first order with code Obscura. Head to Mood.com, find your functional gummy that matches exactly what you're looking for, and let Mood help you discover your perfect mood. And don't forget to use promo code Obscura when you check out to save 20% off your first order. In a hauntingly unique, compulsively readable, engrossingly intense psychological thriller, for readers of Freda McFadden, John Mars, Karen Slaughter, and the Lovely Bones, three women murdered by the same man unite in the afterlife to find justice. A devastating tale of female rage and righteous vengeance, Ask for Andrea will leave readers gutted and asking for more. Three women unite in the afterlife to stop their killer in this viral thriller, perfect for true crime fans. Listener, I personally could not stop reading this book. It feels almost cinematic, and the characters leap right off the page. Now, if you'd like to read this yourself, you can find the deluxe special edition trade paperback of Ask for Andrea wherever books are sold for a limited time. Again, you can find the deluxe special edition trade paperback for Ask for Andrea wherever books are sold for a limited time. Listener, some murders do not erupt out of nowhere. They grow in silence over months and years inside the walls of a home. They are built on dependency, resentment, fear, and the slow erosion of boundaries that keep family relationships stable. This episode examines what happens when an adult man-child never truly becomes independent, and a parent becomes both provider and prisoner inside their own home. It is a story about a household poisoned by alcohol, financial strain, and constant conflict that no one ever seemed to resolve. It is about the warning signs that were visible, spoken aloud, and documented long before the violence finally exploded. It is about a mother who saw danger coming, and a son who never took responsibility for himself until it was far too late. It is the final result of a situation that simmered long before boiling over. Let's get on with it.
Welcome, listener. I'm glad you're here. Take a seat next to the fire.
Welcome to Obscura, where we shine a light on the dark.
Paula Marie Thompson was born on April 28, 1969. By adulthood, she lived in Des Moines, Iowa, working as a claims processor. She was known among friends and coworkers as hardworking and responsible, but those that knew her more closely understood that her home life was troubled. Her adult son, Christopher William Thompson, born in 1987, still lived with her well into his 30s. Their relationship was strained and volatile, marked by drinking, arguments, financial dependency, and years of unresolved problems that steadily grew worse. Christopher had not built an independent adult life. He had a history of unemployment and only worked sporadically through temporary staffing agencies. sometimes going long stretches without any income. As a result, he relied almost entirely on Paula for housing, food, and daily life expenses. He resented this dependency, but he did nothing to change it. Paula, who had always stepped in to support her son, grew increasingly frustrated. She felt she was carrying the weight of a fully grown adult, an adult who showed no progress toward standing on his own, or even interest in doing so. Friends said Paula believed that if she stopped helping him, he would end up homeless or in trouble. Yet supporting him trapped her in a situation that frightened her. Both Paula and Christopher struggled with alcohol. Each had periods of heavy drinking, and when Paula drank, she could become confrontational, emotional, even harsh in her language. Christopher would later tell investigators that when Paula drank, he thought she became verbally abusive, calling him names, shouting at him, and criticizing his failures. Paula, on the other hand, told friends that when Christopher drank, he became unpredictable, angry, aggressive. Neighbors and acquaintances occasionally overheard arguments from inside the house, suggesting that conflict was frequent and serious. In December 2019, Paula confided to her close friend, Melissa Moylan, that she was deeply afraid of her son. Moylan once watched a live video on Paula's Facebook page in which Paula whispered, quote, "He's going to kill me. He's going crazy."
I called and left a message with dispatch.
Oh, did you?
I'm what? Rebecca Barclay.
Okay.
Because I obviously live right here.
So you know the neighbor, you know your neighbors pretty well over here, or I heard that already that they fought a lot or drank a lot. I don't know if that's true or.
They fought a lot. She was an alcoholic. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if she currently was dry or not.
Okay.
She went on and off so often I couldn't keep track.
Yeah. Were you two, you and her close or?
Close enough that every time something happened, she came running to my door to help.
Oh, okay. And she lived with her son, right?
Yes.
Okay. What's his name again?
Christopher.
Christopher.
Yeah. Now, he's a twin. I don't know if you've contacted the brother.
I'm not sure who and who we've not contacted.
I assume they would have contacted her father and probably her brother or her son.
Yeah.
She's an only child. She's lived there for close to 25 years, so I
guess. Wow.
And I've lived here 32, so it's like, I know her. We're not intimate that we talk daily by any means.
Sorry. Yep. Okay.
But, yes, I know her. I know of the problems. I was here the day that there was the problem that she got him arrested and he went to jail.
Oh, okay.
For arson.
In the months leading up to the murder, the situation deteriorated even further. Christopher was on probation from a prior situation, and Paula became involved in communications with his probation officer. She emailed and contacted that officer in December 2019 and again in early March 2020, expressing that she was growing increasingly afraid of her son. She said she was tired of living in fear, tired of the drinking, and tired of supporting an adult who she felt was doing nothing to improve. She indicated clearly that she was considering cutting off financial support and making him move out. She told friends that she believed Christopher could become violent and that she feared he might kill her. These warnings were not vague suggestions, listener. She said them directly, multiple times, to more than one person. Inside the house, the dynamic continued to worsen. Paula controlled the finances, paid the bills, and expected Christopher to follow house rules. Her son resented not only the rules, but the reminders of his dependence. He felt stuck, treated like a child, and embarrassed by the situation. Instead of attempting to leave, he stayed, drank, and internalized growing anger. Paula, meanwhile, was trying to push him towards independence, but had not yet taken the final step of forcing him out. This emotional stalemate hung over the home, but it wouldn't hang for much longer. Things were getting close to eruption.
Hi, my name is Paula Thompson, and my son actually is on probation, and he's trying to get in the house, and
okay,
he has 219 Pleasant View Drive.
Okay, what's your son's name?
Christopher Thompson, and he's like, I hear you calling the police, Mom, please don't, blah, and he's yelling.
Okay, does he have any weapons?
Not that I know of.
Okay, can you describe him to me? Is he white, black, Hispanic, Asian?
White.
How old is he?
32.
Do you know what color or coat or jacket he's wearing?
Gray, like really dark gray.
Police! Hello!
Hi, thank you for coming.
You're welcome.
Yeah, my son, he's on probation,
okay.
And he decided to leave and go get some alcohol and come
okay.
back.
Yeah.
Hi, I'm sorry. I didn't realize I didn't hear the knock loud enough.
It's all right.
So I put a little note right here,
yeah,
and when
I saw
he came
that.
Back, he was mad. He was like knocking on the door, Mom, let me in. You
right.
didn't really call the police. Yeah, I did. And then
okay.
he took off in his car, and you can see the oil spots from his...
Yeah, all right. Does he stay here with you?
Occasionally. He
okay.
doesn't really have anywhere to live, so...
Okay. What's occasionally? What little jinx he might get out?
Oh, no, no, you can't go. No, no, no. No, 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 no. She's like, I don't know what to think.
Yeah. What's occasionally?
No. No. Well... Okay, he lived with my dad,
okay.
and he lived with me, and he lived with my dad, and he lived with me. He is on probation.
What's his probation address?
You know, I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know if it's
well,
here or my dad.
I guess be careful if you're letting him back here and staying here, because at some point, he could probably declare residency here if you allow him to stay here long enough, and he's got enough stuff here. So therefore, you can call us, but if he says, yeah, I got... All my clothes inside have been sitting here for the last week. It's hard for us to tell him he can't come back here because it'd be his residence at that point, okay? So, but if you have problems with his drinking, I'd contact his probation officer because I doubt he can drink on probation. So, and they would be the ones to violate his probation. We can't do anything about that. So, all
yeah,
right.
When he's like violent towards me, what
mm-hmm.
do I do?
Call the police.
Call the police. Put your phone on record while we're en route so that way everything's recorded as far as what he does and says. But if he's that violent and he's on probation and alcoholic or has alcohol problems, I suggest you just don't let him back in and stay here with you anymore until he can get clean. It'll be a tough lesson to learn, but...
There's the note right there.
Yeah, I get it. So, alrighty.
Bless
yep.
your hearts.
Alrighty.
Good night.
Yep, you as well. Take care, dear.
I hope things work out well for you tonight.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you.
On Friday, March 13th, Christopher and Paula were both drunk and arguing. He said when Paula drank, she, quote, turned into a monster. He tried to go into his room, but Paula would not let him shut the door. He stated Paula said his, quote, life is just a pathetic piece of shit, that everything was hers. Thompson blew up. He just couldn't take it anymore. He walked down the hallway past Paula, through the kitchen, and he grabbed a crowbar from a toolkit in the back staircase. He turned and walked full stride back to Paula with determination. He then struck her in the head, repeatedly. He struck her again and again, only stopping when he started seeing the blood oozing. He stared at her for a long time, walked to the couch, looked at her, and then the television, then back at Paula. He noticed blood was getting everywhere. He dragged her body into her room, threw a towel over her face so he didn't have to look at it, and placed rugs on the blood on the floor so he wouldn't step in it. He then washed the crowbar, quote, because it was dripping, and placed it on the kitchen table. For the next several days, Christopher partied. He continued to live in the house with his mother's body in the bedroom. He drank alcohol, watched television, and used Paula's computer. He left the house at least twice to buy more alcohol. During this time, he got fed up with Paula's cat. To him, it was a symbol of her, and it growingly made him more and more angry. So he picked up the crowbar, and he beat the cat to death. He then disposed of the dead animal's body in an outdoor trash bin. He then smashed Paula's phone, possibly to limit incoming calls, or prevent her contacts from reaching him. Meanwhile, Paula's absence was becoming impossible for her coworkers and friends to ignore. She stopped showing up to work and was not responding to calls or messages. One friend, Lori Baker, became increasingly alarmed. On March 18th, she called Christopher to ask about Paula. At first, he tried to avoid answering, but eventually, He told her that he could not lie anymore and confessed that he had blacked out and killed his mother. Maury immediately contacted law enforcement and requested a welfare check.
911?
Yes, I'm getting a welfare check.
Okay, what's the situation? What's going on?
Well, she has not responded for several days, and she hasn't checked in with her boss, so I called her son, and he has now said that he, like, harmed her, and she's dead.
And okay, are you a coworker?
I'm her friend.
Okay.
And I'm her emergency contact, so her boss called me.
Okay, and your name?
Lori Baker, L-O-R-I-E, Baker.
Okay. And did he say when this happened? Like, when did you speak with him, today or?
Today, just a little bit ago.
Listener, I want to take a moment to recommend another podcast called Mind of a Monster, The Killer Nurse. Mind of a Monster is a podcast series from ID that drives into the minds of notorious serial killers like Jeffrey Dahmer, Ted Bundy, and more. This season, they explore the chilling story of Kristen Gilbert, a nurse who murders four of her patients between 1989 and 1995, and is suspected of killing dozens more. Criminal psychologist Dr. Michelle Ward takes us inside Kristen's twisted mind, uncovering why she kills and how she manages to do it right in front of her colleagues. The entire season is out right now, so you can binge it wherever you get your podcasts. And coming up next, they're covering Israel Keyes, a serial killer who picks his victims at random across the U.S. and covers his tracks with terrifying precision. That new season drops early next year. Don't miss it. Listener, if you like Obscura, you'll definitely enjoy Mind of a Monster, The Killer Nurse. Listen to Mind of a Monster, The Killer Nurse, wherever you get your podcasts. Listener, Chime is changing the way people bank. Fee-free and smarter banking built for you, not just the 1%. Chime isn't just another banking app. They unlock smarter banking for everyday people with products like MyPay, giving you access to up to $500 of your paycheck anytime and getting paid up to 2 days early with direct deposit. Some old banks still don't do this. Forget overdraft fees, minimum balance fees, and monthly fees. Chime makes your everyday spending work harder by delivering real rewards and financial progress. Earn up to 3.5% APY on savings, 8 times higher than traditional banks. And Chime is rated 5 stars by USA Today for customer service. Real humans, 24/7. And Chime also has the Chime Card, the new card that unlocks safer credit building and cash back with everyday spending. Together, at last. There's no annual fees, no interest, and no strings attached. And when you get qualifying direct deposits, you get 1.5% cash back on eligible Chime Card purchases. My younger self would have benefited so much from this. Chime is not just smarter banking. It is the most rewarding way to bank. Join the millions who are already banking fee-free today. It just takes a few minutes to sign up. Head to chime.com/obscura. That is chime.com/obscura.
And he said, I can't keep lying to you. He's been telling me that she's just been drinking. I don't really know what to think.
Okay. And you said she hasn't shown up for work either?
She has not.
Okay, does the son live there? Work.
Yes, uh-huh.
Okay, did he say what he did?
A crowbar.
Like, a crowbar, okay.
Well, yeah, he just said...
Has he been known to have any kind of mental issues or anything?
Yes.
Okay. But how old is Christopher, if you don't know, just guess?
He's 30-something.
Okay.
Maybe 35.
And is he white, black, Asian, Hispanic?
He's white.
Okay. Does he have the same last name, Baker, or is his last name different?
No. Thompson. It's Paula Thompson.
Oh, you're Baker. I'm sorry. I read my notes wrong. Yeah, I'm sorry.
My last name is Baker.
Yep, I got it right now.
That's okay. Yes, and he has a record, and, like, he has had some anger management issues before, but, well, obviously never to this degree.
Right.
But so I don't know. I mean, I couldn't tell if he was, like,
right.
I don't know why he would say that if he didn't do that.
Okay. How old is Paula? I should have asked you that earlier, sorry?
She is just about 50 or right around that.
Okay, I got the trip in. We're going to get some officers headed over there.
Police arrived at the home, and what they discovered was grim. They discovered Paula deceased in the bedroom. The scene, of course, showed bloodstains, signs of Christopher's cleaning, and the obvious signs of severe trauma.
Police. Hello? Police.
226
DP. Hello, Des Moines Police.
Hold traffic. We have a person down inside the house. We're looking for any other subject now. A lot of blood right here on this door.
Yeah.
Looks like she's been drug or moved. Yeah. What about, hey, let's check this door. Will we check this one? How do you get to that? Hey, could you get to this little area from under the stairs? Yeah, never mind. I see it. I was looking for like where the water heater is and stuff.
Yeah. Good?
Yeah, it's clear down here. Is there a garage? 245 Adam, if you want to notify supervisor, I didn't have 504 come out here. There's a crowbar here on the table. Is there a garage?
Detectives?
Yeah, it's gonna be.
Also need detectives to do the attacker photo to our MPD, please.
I assume that's a female or the people, yeah?
Yes.
Alright.
That's locked? Okay. You cleared the car, right? Let's double, we're gonna peek inside the car again real quick.
245 Adam.
45 Adam.
Can medics come in or do you want them to go back to service?
They can come in. It's an obvious, but I wanna do another sweep of the upstairs.
Walk around a whole lot since we're
out. Yeah, I mean, I just peeked around there too. I just want to make sure we check everywhere. We don't think we looked in there because that bag was right in front of the door.
Hey, we're going to have Dick sing that phone for the son to see if maybe we can get a location.
Okay. Yeah. Anyway, yeah, like I said, I'm pretty confident he's not here, but we're going to do one more sweep.
I'll hang out here. That way there's one more person walking through.
Yeah, I mean, she's got acetylene. She's been down for a while. So she's got some bludgeoning and the blood's coagulated and dried, so.
We just need medic to come in or not even?
I don't even think that it's pretty obvious.
Well, they're here on the.
Yeah, there's some. When we first peeked that, are we?
No, thank you.
There's some bottles and stuff over here. Probably been doing a lot of drinking.
I got dispatched. They were running the sauna and see if they could contact.
You see the crowbar over there on the table?
Yeah, say that.
45 Adam.
45 Adam.
It's all possible if we could get a middle name so we could get the DL photo sent.
I know just as much about the sun as you do.
I'll catch the car. Okay.
Cuppy's going to run the plate. We're going to start there from the car.
According to an autopsy report, Paula sustained several chop wounds to her scalp, specifically on the left temporal region, the back of her head, behind her right ear. These chop wounds were described in a way that suggests a blunt instrument, not a clean cut. The examiner explained that while the edges were fairly clean, the skin near the wounds was abraded, essentially cut and scraped back, consistent with blows from a blunt object, such as a crowbar. There were also defensive-type injuries on Paula's right arm and hand. Her middle right fingertip was completely absent. The examiner noted that these wounds indicated she tried to block or shield herself from the blows. Paula was fully aware that this was happening to her. She would have begged Christopher to stop hitting her. She suffered extensive brain hemorrhaging, massive bleeding in her brain, consistent with severe blunt force trauma. The officers went to Christopher's grandfather's house next, who lived nearby, to see if he was there.
Hi. Hello, is Chris here?
No.
Does he live here currently, or?
No, he doesn't.
Okay, have you talked to him at all recently?
I have not.
Okay. Well, I just want to talk to him. When was the last time you heard from him?
Okay, you want 226 to continue?
A week ago.
A couple months ago?
Yeah. You okay. Can come in if you want.
Okay, yeah, if you don't mind, just look around for him. He is, the detectives are looking for him right now.
Who's looking for him?
Our detectives are.
Oh, okay. All right, come on. 226.
I'm looking in the back room. Okay. So he hasn't lived here for a couple months, or
six
longer
months
than that, 6 months?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, we're just
going to... more than that, I didn't...
Okay, but yeah, if you don't mind, we're just gonna look around quick.
Go ahead.
No one else is home.
His wife. Back there. Okay. All right, sir, if you hear from him, I know you haven't heard from him so much, but if you happen to hear from him, can you call us immediately, please?
Sure.
All right, sorry for bothering you guys. Hope you guys have a good day.
All right, fine. You guys are just doing your job. Hopefully you're not in too bad trouble, but...
No, we don't know either. We just got a phone call from a detective to say, hey, we need to talk to him, and he might be considered dangerous. So that's why we came here with our guns. I was just because I don't know him, and they told us he might be dangerous. So for whatever they're looking for, I'm not really sure.
Okay.
But if you do see him or hear from him, just contact 911 immediately, please, okay?
All right.
All right, thank you. Hello. Sorry about you. I just need to get some information from you.
Okay.
So,
no problem.
I believe as you as the dad, and you have the right to know. No, it's a safety issue.
I'm his grandfather.
Grandfather. Okay. Okay. He, we have reason to believe he was involved in a homicide this morning. So I couldn't tell you before, but now the press release is out. So yeah, that's why we're here looking for him. They want to talk to him in relation to a homicide.
Chris has always been a little bit wild, so I've distanced myself.
Okay.
He stayed here for a while after he got out of jail because he needed a place to stay.
Yep.
But then finally I told him, you know, it's inconvenient for me. You need to move.
Okay. So, yeah, if he shows up, I would advise you not to open the door and just call us right away.
Okay.
Because if he is kind of has history of being unstable and possibly involved in the homicide, I don't think it wouldn't be safe for you to.
No.
Obviously, if something's going on with his head, he's not in the right state of mind, that something bad could happen. So. Okay. Well, I think we should be good now. We'll stop bothering for the day, sir.
No, not a problem. You're not a bother.
All right. Have a good day.
It occurred to both officers that they were about to leave without telling Paula's father that his grandson had killed his daughter.
I hate doing these. So just so you know, I just talked to our family conflict. Detectives and Paula was the victim of the homicide.
I saw a blurb. I was afraid of that.
And so Detective Mitchell, who is one of our family conflict detectives, he's getting a victim services advocate, and they're on their way out here now.
Okay.
But they asked us, I was already here and talked to you, that I'd be able to notify you.
Sure, I appreciate that.
So I
want to give you a couple of phone numbers also.
Absolutely.
Paula's father had no reaction. Listener, I've seen many reactions on this show to such news, including people that seem in shock when they hear the news. William reacted as if he heard that it was going to rain later that day. Not that his grandson killed his daughter. Later that same day, Christopher walked into the Polk County Jail and told the staff that he had killed his mother. He was arrested and interrogated. His confession was detailed and unemotional, and his descriptions matched the evidence in the home. Christopher was charged with first-degree murder. Prosecutors presented extensive evidence, including Paula's communications expressing fear for her safety, his confession, the physical evidence in the house, and the additional killing of the cat. The pattern that they described was one of escalating resentment, dependency, alcoholism, probation stress, an increasingly unstable home life. The defense argued that the killing occurred in a moment of drunken rage and should be considered impulsive rather than premeditated. The jury rejected the defense arguments. Christopher Thompson was found guilty of first-degree murder and sentenced to life in prison without the possibility of parole.
A Des Moines man sentenced to life in prison Friday for murdering his mother will be sentenced on animal cruelty charges tomorrow. 33-year-old Christopher Thompson pleaded guilty to beating the cat to death with a crowbar. Des Moines police say Thompson murdered his mother back in March after she tried to get him to move out of her home. Thompson's lawyers have already asked the court to set aside his murder conviction. They claim COVID-19 restrictions compromised their ability to thoroughly question potential jurors in this trial.
He also received a conviction for animal cruelty due to the killing of the cat. Listener, Paula Thompson spent the last months of her life warning the people around her. She told friends. She emailed her son's probation officer. She called police. She said clearly that she was afraid that her son might kill her. She tried to make him change. She tried to hold the household together while doing everything for him financially and emotionally. Christopher did nothing to leave or improve his situation. When their final argument ignited, the pressure that had built inside that small house finally ruptured. Paula died in both terror and pain. Christopher survived and now serves life without the possibility of parole. A family ended, a mother was silenced, and another case entered the long list of domestic homicides that did not have to happen. In the end, there were no surprises. Paula saw her own fate coming. She just couldn't stop what was coming. Obscura is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Fiscally responsible, financial geniuses, monetary magicians. These are things people say about drivers who switch their car insurance to Progressive and save hundreds. Because Progressive offers discounts for paying in full, owning a home, and more. Plus, you can count on their great customer service to help when you need it. So, your dollar goes a long way. Visit Progressive.com. to see if you could save on car insurance. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states or situations.